This program is provided by lawyer Kyung-jin Kim.
So if you put like 16 artificial intelligence agents into a digital room to solve a really complex problem, they are brilliant. I mean, they share data, they reach a consensus, and they basically get the job done almost instantly.
Right. It's incredible to watch.
Yeah. But if you add a 17th agent to that exact same room, the whole thing just falls apart. They form factions, they start arguing over the exact same evidence, and the entire system just collapses into complete gridlock.
It is honestly one of the most fascinating and frankly kind of hilarious discoveries in computer science right now. I mean, the assumption has always been that, you know, more compute power and more agents automatically equal better results.
Yeah, right. More is better.
Exactly. But it turns out AI systems are perfectly capable of inheriting our absolute worst bureaucratic nightmares.
Welcome to another deep dive. Today we are looking at this massive multi-directional collision happening across the whole AI industry. And we're going to be guided by a really dense, highly revealing new AI daily briefing report provided by lawyer Kyung-jin Kim, a former lawmaker.
Yeah, and it's a great report because it really unpacks the mechanics behind all this chaos we're seeing.
Exactly. I mean, our mission today is to explore this huge tug of war. On one side, you have these skyrocketing capabilities and open source models completely upending global financial markets. And on the other side, basic, almost embarrassing security failures, and a tidal wave of new strict liability laws crashing down.
What lawyer Kyung-jin Kim outlines here is a landscape where basically the underlying technology is moving so fast that the traditional guardrails are physically snapping under the tension. Like corporate strategy, software security, international law, they just can't keep up. We're watching the macro global strategy collide violently with micro real-world application.
So let's start with that macro picture because, I mean, the sheer scale of the money involved sets up everything else we're going to talk about today. Looking at the U.S. side of the board, Amazon just reported their Q2 earnings, and they are astronomical.
Yeah, absolutely massive.
Overall revenue hit $200.6 billion. But the real story is their cloud service, AWS, which grew at 37%. It hit $42.2 billion in just one quarter.
And you really have to pay attention to the specific AI and chip business in there. That segment alone is reaching a $25 billion run rate.
Wow.
Right. And for anyone not steeped in finance, a run rate just takes the current monthly or quarterly revenue and like projects it out over a full year, assuming conditions stay exactly the same.
So Amazon is looking at a $25 billion baseline. Just for AI infrastructure alone.
Exactly. And they are backing that up by committing over $200 billion to capital expenditures this year. I mean, they are essentially paving the globe in server farms.
But here is where the report immediately throws a wrench into that whole U.S.-centric narrative, right?
Yeah.
Because while Amazon, Microsoft, and Google are building these financial mountains based on closed proprietary models, the usage metrics tell a totally different story over in Asia.
They really do. The report tracks data from OpenRouter, which is it's a major platform where developers go to access different AI models. And for 13 consecutive weeks, Chinese models have topped the token call volume. And the margin isn't even close, honestly. During the week of July 20th, U.S. models processed 2.34 trillion tokens.
Okay.
Chinese models processed 33 trillion.
Wait, 33 trillion, just to ground that metric for a second for you listening. A token is roughly 3/4 of a word or, you know, a small chunk of an image or code. It's the fundamental unit of data an AI digests.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're talking about processing tens of trillions of words. How on earth did Chinese models suddenly capture that much global developer traffic?
So the turning point happened on July 27th when a Chinese company called Moonshot did something that fundamentally shattered Silicon Valley's business logic. They released Kimi K3, which is this massive 2.8 trillion parameter model.
Okay.
And they didn't just release it, they actually open sourced the model weights.
I want to pause on that phrase, open sourcing the weights, because I mean, that gets thrown around in headlines a lot, but the mechanics of it are wild. A 2.8 trillion parameter model means there are literally 2.8 trillion mathematical, like, knobs or variables that define how the AI makes decisions, right?
Exactly. And to figure out the optimal position for those 2.8 trillion knobs, which is what we call the weights, you have to feed the system mountains of data over months.
Burning tens of millions of dollars in electricity and specialized compute power to do it.
Oh, yeah. It is an incredibly expensive trial and error process to train a model of that size. But the thing is, once the training is done and those numbers are locked in, the resulting file is relatively small.
Right.
Copying it costs absolutely nothing.
So Moonshot essentially spent a fortune to forge the brain and then just what, uploaded the final wiring diagram to the internet for free?
Pretty much. Lawyer Kunjin Kim's report notes it topped Hugging Face, which is sort of like the GitHub for AI developers, in just 30 minutes.
But what I don't get is the market reaction. Because when Moonshot released this free code, the U.S. Philadelphia Semiconductor Index instantly dropped by over 6%. Why did a software release in China crash U.S. hardware stocks? I mean, aren't some U.S. companies, like Meta, playing the exact same open source game?
Well, Meta is open sourcing, yeah, but the Kimi K3 release was a wake-up call about the sheer speed of international parity. The U.S. hardware market, particularly companies designing specialized AI chips, is banking on the idea that running top-tier AI will always require massive, expensive data centers.
Right, they want to sell the expensive kitchen equipment.
Exactly. But open sourcing allows the global developer community to deploy something called quantization.
Walk me through the mechanics of quantization. Like, how does that actually threaten hardware sales?
Okay, think of quantization like lowering the resolution of a massive, ultra-high-definition photograph. An AI's weights are usually stored as highly precise, really long decimal numbers, which take up a lot of memory.
Okay, makes sense.
Quantization rounds those complex decimals into smaller, simpler integers. The AI loses a microscopic amount of accuracy, sure, but suddenly it requires a fraction of the memory and compute power to run.
Wow.
And because Kimi K3's weights are open to the public, literally any developer can quantize it. Suddenly, you just don't need a $100 million server farm to run a state-of-the-art 2.8 trillion parameter model.
You can run it much, much cheaper.
Drastically cheaper. Running Kimi K3 costs about 34% of what it costs to run Claude Fable 5 on average. The market panicked because if cutting-edge AI becomes practically free and highly compressed, the demand for ultra-expensive specialized cloud compute plummets.
Which naturally triggers a geopolitical standoff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to be perfectly clear to you listening, we are simply looking at the board here, completely impartially outlining the arguments from both nations, exactly as detailed in Lawyer Kunjin Kim's report.
Right, we're just reporting what's happening.
Yeah. So the U.S. Treasury Secretary announced plans to review Chinese models, basically arguing that these rapid capability jumps must be built on stolen U.S. intellectual property.
Meanwhile, China's Ministry of Commerce responded by categorizing the U.S. actions as AI hegemony.
Interesting.
Yeah. Their counterargument is that the flow of information is actually going the other way. They claim that U.S. companies are routinely using Chinese models to distill and reverse engineer training data just to catch up.
It is a massive standoff over who is taking from whom, sparked entirely by the friction between closed and open source ecosystems.
Yep.
But if we follow the consequence of this cheap, democratized compute power, it leads us directly to the micro level. If developers everywhere suddenly have access to free, highly capable AI models, they aren't just building simple chatbots anymore, are they?
No, not at all. They are building agent swarms. And this is where the technology stops acting like a tool and starts acting like a miniature society. An AI agent isn't just waiting for a prompt. You give it a goal, and it autonomously browses the web, writes code, or talks to other AI agents to achieve that goal. The industry assumption has always been that if one agent is smart, 1,000 agents working in parallel must be a genius.
But according to a joint study by NTT Research and Harvard University, which Lawyer Kunjin Kim highlights in the report, that assumption is dead wrong.
Totally wrong.
They ran this experiment called the flag game. They gave AI agents a task to identify a specific country's hidden flag, but they restricted the data. Each agent was only allowed to see a microscopic piece of the flag. So maybe one agent sees a sliver of red, another sees the point of a star.
And to solve the puzzle, the agents have to communicate their local view to the other agents, synthesize that incomplete information, and build a global picture. It is a pure test of machine collaboration.
You would think throwing 100 agents at that problem would map the flag in seconds. But the optimal team size was roughly 16 agents. The moment they added the 17th or 18th agent, the accuracy completely collapsed.
The mechanics of why it collapses are just fascinating. Beyond 16 members, the communication overhead becomes too heavy. The agents start hallucinating slightly different interpretations of the exact same data.
Oh, wow.
And because they are programmed to find consensus, these minor hallucinations get amplified in a feedback loop. The agents literally form factions, dig into their incorrect interpretations, and argue with the other factions.
It is the exact mathematical equivalent of a corporate bureaucracy.
Okay.
I mean, put 5 people in a chat, you make a plan, you solve the problem, put 50 people in a Slack channel, it descends into factional warfare and absolutely nothing gets done.
Exactly.
It turns out, when you scale artificial intelligence, it inherits the flaws of human sociology.
It is a hilarious analogy, but mathematically, it represents a massive roadblock because companies like OpenAI and Anthropic are betting their entire consumer futures on this agent army model, this idea that you will have dozens of personalized agents managing your digital life.
Which makes their recent product update seem entirely contradictory, right? I mean, you know, OpenAI just integrated the ChatGPT voice function directly into Mac and Windows desktop apps, allowing users to direct multiple background agents simultaneously.
Yep.
And Anthropic just upgraded Claude's voice mode to operate apps like Gmail, Slack, and Notion autonomously.
The contradiction is glaring. We are building incredibly intuitive voice commands to summon and control vast swarms of AI agents while completely ignoring the underlying computer science that proves if you summon too many of them, they become totally dysfunctional and start hallucinating consensus.
And as we transition from theoretical agent swarms to how real humans are currently using these tools, the reality check hits incredibly hard because we are handing these potentially flawed systems access to our email, our files, our desktops, assuming the companies building them have, like, military-grade security.
Right, which they don't.
No. Lawyer Kunjin Kim's report details a recent failure that is shockingly amateur.
It might be the most alarming technical breakdown we've seen all year, purely because of how mundane the mistake was. We talk constantly about AI existential risk, you know? But the actual harm happening right now is literally just bad web development.
Hundreds of Anthropic's Claude shared chat logs were perfectly indexed and exposed on Google and Bing search results. Anyone could search a keyword and drop right into someone else's private conversation.
Yeah, and this wasn't casual chatter.
No. We are talking about political counseling sessions, lawyers testing professional ethics questions, unredacted medical records, private role-playing, and sensitive developer API keys.
And when you look at the mechanism behind this leak, it is almost unbelievable. It wasn't a sophisticated state-sponsored hack or some cryptographic failure. Anthropic only relied on a standard robots.txt file to try and block search engines from crawling the shared link URLs.
For anyone unfamiliar with web hosting, a robots.txt file is essentially a polite sign on the door asking Google's web crawlers not to look inside. But it is just a request. If another site links to that page, Google will crawl it anyway. The absolute baseline requirement to actually hide a page from a search engine is a Noindex HTML tag embedded in the page's code.
Right. And Anthropic simply forgot to include the Noindex tag. The company building artificial intelligence that can write complex software and pass the bar exam suffered a massive data breach because they forgot a web design rule from 1996.
It's crazy.
Google didn't even begin purging these results until late July.
I struggle to understand how a company valued in the billions misses a missing line of HTML on their primary sharing feature.
Well, according to the report, they didn't just miss it, they ignored it. Forbes reportedly warned Anthropic about this exact vulnerability back in September of 2025.
You're kidding.
No, but the company allegedly made excuses about how search engines process links and failed to fundamentally fix the tagging issue. It exposes a massive blind spot. These companies are so laser-focused on the complex linear algebra of neural networks that they are treating basic cybersecurity protocols as an afterthought.
So, practically speaking, how do professionals protect themselves when the platform architects are leaving the doors wide open?
So, lawyer Kunjin Kim provides some critical advice here, focusing on the blind spots we all have when using cloud software. First, you have to understand the difference between an API call and a web portal interface.
Yeah.
Professionals often assume that because enterprise APIs are encrypted and secure, the consumer web portal has the same protections. It doesn't. Never put sensitive client information into a consumer to your chatbot, and never generate a shared link for sensitive output. A shared link is not a secure, encrypted tunnel. It is an open, unlisted URL directory.
Right. If you generate a link, you basically have to assume the internet can read it.
Yeah. That's exactly. Second, go back and proactively deactivate or delete any shared links you've generated in the past. Third, if you discover your data is already indexed, you cannot rely on the AI company to fix it. You must actively use Google and Bing's content removal tools yourself.
That's a huge pain.
It is. Finally, for any meaningful professional work, only operate on enterprise-level plans that contractually guarantee zero data retention and just don't rely on public URLs for sharing.
Because of these exact types of privacy failures, the unreliability of agents, and the potential for real-world harm, it feels like the honeymoon phase of the AI boom is officially over. Both the free market and global legal systems are finally imposing consequences.
And we are seeing those consequences hit the market in highly counterintuitive ways.
Yeah, look at Reddit's Q2 earnings. Yep. By every traditional metric, they crushed it. They hit 514.6 million weekly active users, up 24%, and beat their earnings per share estimates. Yet the stock dropped 10% on the news.
Yeah.
The culprit, AI search summaries.
Right. Reddit had to disclose that their search traffic is highly volatile because of platforms like Google utilizing AI to summarize content directly on the search page. When an AI scrapes a highly detailed Reddit thread and displays the answer right at the top of Google, the user gets exactly what they need without ever clicking the link.
Yeah.
The AI basically acts as an information toll booth.
It is a parasite-host relationship. The AI fundamentally needs Reddit's human-generated data to provide smart answers, but by providing those answers on the search page, it starves Reddit of the traffic required to keep its ad revenue model alive. The technology is literally cannibalizing its own data source.
It is. But, you know, the market dynamics are child's play compared to the legal hammer dropping globally. August 2nd marks a massive shift in how these models are regulated.
Right. The European Union's AI Act is officially baring its teeth. Specifically, the oversight for general purpose AI and its Article 50 transparency rules are now live, which require clear labeling for AI chatbots and deepfakes.
And the labeling is really just the surface layer. The enforcement mechanisms the EU has granted itself are staggering. They now possess the legal authority to demand internal training documents, conduct independent evaluations of proprietary models, force companies to implement risk mitigation, and even restrict access to the EU market entirely.
Wow.
And the penalty for non-compliance, fines up to 3% of a company's global revenue, or 15 million euros, whichever is higher.
I mean, 3% of global revenue for a company like Amazon or Google isn't a slap on the wrist. That is a multi-billion dollar crater. Though to be precise, the most stringent obligations for high-risk AI deployments aren't kicking in until 2027 or 2028. But the baseline transparency framework is now a reality.
Yeah, but the EU isn't the only battleground. Back in the US, we are watching a lawsuit that strikes at the very core of how AI is engineered. Elon Musk's XAI is actively suing the state of Minnesota over a new law, HF 6206, which took effect August 1st.
This law bans applications from generating explicit non-consensual deepfakes, often referred to as nudify apps.
Mm.
On its face, it is a law designed to protect victims from horrific digital abuse. But XAI is suing because of the specific legal mechanism the state is using, which is strict no-fault liability.
Right. And to understand why this is a constitutional showdown, you really have to understand the engineering paradox of strict liability in AI.
Explain that.
So strict liability means that if a user utilizes your platform to create an explicit deepfake, you, the platform operator, are legally liable for up to $500,000 per violation plus punitive damages.
Wow.
It does not matter if you built the best safety filters in the world. It does not matter if it violates your terms of service. And it does not matter if you had zero knowledge of the specific image. If your math generates the pixels, you pay.
Which creates an impossible engineering task.
Mm.
I mean, we just discussed how AI agents hallucinate and break down when you add a 17th member to a task. Neural networks are probabilistic. They guess the next pixel or the next word.
Mm.
You cannot mathematically guarantee with 100% certainty that a model will never be jailbroken or tricked into generating a banned image.
Which is exactly XAI's argument.
Yeah.
They claim the law is unconstitutional because it offers zero safe harbor for companies operating in good faith. If the penalty for a single jailbroken image is $500,000 and strict liability, the legal risk of operating an image generator in Minnesota becomes astronomical.
Right.
Furthermore, XAI argues the definition of the ban is so broad it creates a chilling effect, inadvertently outlawing standard photo editing software and even protected political satire.
It is a devastating clash of priorities. Again, staying totally impartial here, you have the state prioritizing victim protection above all else, establishing that the burden of harm shouldn't fall on the citizen. But the tech company is arguing that strict liability fundamentally misunderstands how generative AI works, and applying it makes innovation legally impossible.
And lawyer Tingjin Kim points out in the report that this is much bigger than one state. This lawsuit is a vital constitutional test case. Countries around the globe, including South Korea, are currently in the process of designing their own deepfake regulations.
Right, they are looking for a model.
Exactly. The international community is watching Minnesota to see if a strict liability standard can survive constitutional scrutiny. Because if the courts uphold it, every AI company on Earth will have to fundamentally redesign how they deploy open models, because the financial risk of user behavior will be entirely on their shoulders.
It is incredible how all these threads weave together. I mean, we started with the macro scale, Amazon spending billions on infrastructure, while China leverages open source weights to disrupt the U.S. hardware market. We looked at the micro failures, watching AI agents form bureaucratic factions and multi-billion-dollar companies failing to write a basic Noindex tag, leaking sensitive user data onto Google.
Yeah, and it all culminates in this legal reckoning. The era of moving fast and breaking things is running headfirst into the reality of strict liability and EU oversight.
Which leaves us with a final fascinating paradox to think about. If the future of this technology isn't centralized U.S. cloud servers, but rather open source models downloaded anonymously by millions of developers around the world, and if those models are used to spin up autonomous multi-agent swarms that mathematically tend to hallucinate and break their own rules.
What happens when one of those decentralized open source agent swarms commits a strict liability offense under a law like Minnesota's? I mean, if the creator is an anonymous open source community, the platform is a decentralized network, and the actor is a faction of 16 AI agents operating on a random desktop, who exactly does the law put in handcuffs?
When the technology starts acting like a society, the old rules of liability start to look very, very fragile. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into lawyer Kungjin Kim's report. Keep questioning the systems being built around you, and we'll catch you next time.
This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
For more from the same network, follow China AI, Robotics and Semiconductor Briefing on Apple Podcasts.